Good morning and welcome to Little Swatara. It is preschool Sunday. Is anyone as excited as I am? Woo-hoo! I think the kids are pretty excited. Let's get this party started. The preschool will be with us in just a few moments, but we want to highlight some announcements happening here at Little Swatara next Sunday, May 1st. Everyone say May 1st with me.
May 1st.
6 p.m. is our love feast. We celebrate downstairs in our fellowship hall. So next Sunday, May 1st, 6 p.m., join us for our love feast together as we remember Jesus' example set for us. We want to highlight today is the last day to give birthday cards to George Bayshore and Esther Yenser. There's boxes on the Narthex table for you to do so. We want to highlight just a few other announcements. The kids can get ready to dive deep into adventure. Grown-ups, consider helping out with Vacation Bible School 2016, where the kids will learn more about God's presence with them wherever they go. So families, mark your calendar and let's go deep. July 11th to 15th from 8:30 to 11 a.m. each day, July 11th to 15th. Women's Fellowship is seeking people to help with their project of making comforters. Fern Philippi would be your contact. Her phone number's in the bulletin if you have any questions or would like to help with that. We want to highlight the Mother-Daughter Banquet, May 7th, 2016. Doors open 5:30, dinner at 6 o'clock. May 7th is the Mother-Daughter Banquet, 5:30, doors open, 6 o'clock is dinner. We also have a meeting for the Car, Truck, Tractor, Motorcycle Show at 7 o'clock this Tuesday, April 26th. Any questions about that or you just want to plan to attend that meeting, Paul Swigert's your contact. And it's also camping time. Do we have any campers in the congregation this morning? Anyone like to camp? It's the camping group meeting April 29th at 7 p.m. And that's here at the church. If you're interested in camping, come along with ideas, dates, and most importantly, a snack. So that's on April 29th. The pictorial directory, if you have not yet signed up for the pictorial directory, today will be the last Sunday morning scheduling, but you can still go online to make an appointment or contact Denise Christ to make an appointment for your picture to appear in the pictorial directory. And then we have another highlight we'd like to invite Ashley to make about a ladies' Bible study.
Thank you. Good morning. I just want to invite any woman of the congregation to a women's Bible study that Denise and I are starting at the Parsonage. It's the second and fourth Mondays of the month at 9 o'clock. There will be childcare over the summer. There is childcare now for those who are not in school yet. And we're hoping to just pretty much really just dig into the Word and just learn what the Bible has to say. So the first we start tomorrow. So tomorrow morning we'll learn why we need to dig into the Word, and after that we're going to start in Ephesians. And I am not professing to know anything. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I'm just learning with you guys and trying to lead it and ask questions, but learning right alongside of everybody. I am nowhere near perfect, and please do not make that assumption. Come to learn and just to grow and just to connect with your sisters in Christ is what we're hoping for. Thanks.
Thank you, Ashley. We invite you to please rise and greet one another. Again, we're so glad you joined us here. Welcome preschool family and friends, and welcome one another, and we'll enter into our time of opening praise, which will be found in pamphlet number 2, God Make Us Your Family.
If you'll remain standing and take out your pamphlets, number 2, God Make Us Family.
Your kingdom come, your will be done.
You may be seated. As God makes us His family, we come together during a time of sharing joys and concerns, and there'll be a microphone coming around, and we'd be able to hear you as we announce with one another prayer concerns that we may have.
I have a great joy this morning. A good friend of ours, Sue DeRocher, has been treating for cancer for quite a number of years. They've tried a new chemo for her. Her cancer has been completely undetectable, even though they had to stop her cancer for her treatment for a whole month. And now they've cut her treatments back, and she is just bursting with joy.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Just to add, the family of Gerald Batts, who passed away, and Jim is part of our congregation and some others, and ask that you would keep that family in prayer as they mourn the loss of Gerald.
It's a joy for us to be here for Preschool Sunday. I just ask you to keep Lloyd and Naomi Moyer in your prayers. They're both doing well in the hospitals, but just please keep them in your prayers.
Thank you, David. Any others this morning? We serve an awesome God who hears our prayers. Let's go to Him now. Father God, we thank You for this time to celebrate Preschool Sunday. We are so blessed by the children that You have given us in our lives, and we pray, Lord, that You would continue to nurture them and bring them up in the faith. Father, we pray for each family represented here today, that Your love would be bestowed upon them, that they would feel Your presence day in and day out. And Father, we think of those this morning that are facing persecution, our Nigerian brothers and sisters, and ask Your hedge of protection around them. We think of those that have faced death and the families that surround those deaths, and ask, Lord, that You would comfort them. We think of those that have gone through surgery and those that are rejoicing because of the good news of being cancer-free. And we thank You, God, for the miracles that You provide. And we continue this morning to lift up Robert and Ruth and Lloyd and Naomi and Roberta and Jen and Pete and Jess and Carol and Catherine and Ken and Sandy and Tom and many others that flood into our minds at this time. Father, we place them into Your loving arms and ask that Your will would be done. Father, where there needs to be a healing touch, we pray for Your healing touch, and we pray that in Jesus' name. We think where there needs to be comfort, and we pray for comfort in Jesus' name. And we pray for peace and reconciliation among our families and among our brothers and sisters. And Father, we pray that in Jesus' name. And we thank You, Father, that we can gather this morning and we can know that You hear our prayers. And Father, we come to You now very purposefully in these next few moments of silent prayer and pray our confessions. Lord, we know we sin each day, and we pray that You would forgive us, for we know that You sent Your Son to the cross. He died and paid the price, and the tomb is empty. And we rejoice. We are filled with joy this morning knowing that. And we pray, Father, these next few moments are prayers of confession and those prayers that are on our heart. God, hear our prayers. Father, we thank You for Your tender mercies that are new each day. We thank You for Your forgiveness. We claim freedom, Lord, in Jesus Christ, and ask that we would be once and for all free from our sin that so easily entangles. Father, we pray now for the preschool children as they're getting ready to come and sing to us, Lord, that You would give them a joyful sound and allow them to have a great time knowing that they are dearly loved and appreciated and valued. Father, we pray for the hearts of many that are mourning today, the hearts of many that are rejoicing, and we celebrate and we mourn alongside them and ask, Father, that You would continue to allow Your presence to be in their lives. And we thank You, God, for how awesome You are and the greatness that You have given us. And we turn to You now and ask that You would continue to minister to us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. One of the exciting aspects of Life in ministry is when a fellow member calls you and shares a testimony with you. And this past week, a testimony was shared regarding their offering, that they made the decision that they're going to give that 10% of their income each week to the Lord and trust Him to provide. And that individual was rejoicing this morning, knowing that God indeed has provided. And sometimes it hurts to give, but we know that in that pain, in that joy that we give, God will make ends meet for us, and He will continue to allow provision in our lives. So we celebrate with the many testimonies of God's faithfulness in this room, and we pray for the offering this morning. God, thank you for each giver. Bless them. Bless them real good, Lord. Thank you for the cheerfulness they have in doing so. Thank you for the ability to give not only in abundance, but to give when it hurts. And Father, we pray that we would be that type of giver that gives above and beyond, that we would see the good news that needs to go forth and the impact that the kingdom can have in many people's lives. And so we surrender our income, our finances to you, and ask that you would use it according to your purposes, not our own. And so, Father, thank you, God, for each one that gives this morning, and bless them and bless each person represented here this morning. Amen.
We are so thankful to have all of you here this morning worshiping with us and celebrating all of these precious preschoolers. Thank you to the parents who made sure they got here and blessing us with their presence too. And although every preschool Sunday is special in this church, this one is extra special as we would like to take a few minutes to recognize and honor one of our teachers who has served at Little Sitar Preschool for 20 years. Tracy Light, whom we all know as our Miss Tracy, will have completed 20 years of teaching at the end of this school term, and we couldn't let this milestone in her life go unrecognized. So, Miss Tracy, we ask if you would just join us up for a moment.
You could have forgotten about it.
She said we could have forgotten about it, but we couldn't. Both of my children had the opportunity to be a part of Miss Tracy's classroom, and so I'm reminded as a parent of the scripture from 3 John 1:4, which says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Year after year, Miss Tracy has brought the truth of God's word to the hearts and minds of the children in our community. Year after year, she has let the little children come and blessed them with the love of Jesus. Year after year, she has taught letters and numbers, shapes and colors, manners and music. She has given hugs freely. She has bandaged probably lots of boo-boos. She has wiped tears, and she's probably wiped a lot of noses, too. She has laughed and danced. She's cut and colored. She's glued and painted. But most importantly, Tracy has taught how to love like Jesus. And she's helped build a foundation of Christian education for hundreds of children over the years. Jeremiah 3:15 says, "And I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." Tracy has been like a shepherdess, teaching our little flocks in our community. And as shepherds often do, I'm sure she has made sacrifices and prayed prayers that we will never know about, just to make sure none of her little sheep would go astray. But God has seen her faithfulness in her service, and I know that he's smiling on her today and on this church and this preschool, and we are blessed. So we're blessed to have you in our community, Tracy. And thank you for your service, your loyalty, and love to Little Sitar Preschool. On behalf of the preschool board, Cindy, your co-workers, and your community, we just want to give you a token of our appreciation and say thank you for 20 years.
I'd like to invite all the children, come join me up front. We'll sit over here.
You gotta come out further.
I'm just coming up right here. What kind of day are you guys having? Are you having a good day? Yeah? Or are you having a bad day? What kind of things make you guys happy? Does a sunny day make you happy? Yeah? Does a party make you happy? Yeah? Does a new toy make you guys happy? Yeah? Does a new puppy make you happy?
Yeah.
Does an ice cream cone
with
lots of ice cream on it make you happy? Yeah. How about a new balloon? You just got a balloon from the fair. Does that make you happy? How about spending time with your friends? Does that make you happy?
Yeah.
Yes? How about some candy? Oh, yeah. What kind of things make you sad?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Losing
your favorite blankie.
Losing your
favorite blankie? When you lose your blankie? What about... You have a favorite blankie?
Yeah, I had it since I was a baby.
You've had it since you were a baby? Wow.
And I still have it.
That's good.
That's really cool.
Oh, wait, I got
you have a monkey?
And then next time I got
does falling down and skinning your knee, does that make you unhappy? Does that make you sad? Yeah. How about if you get a bad grade at school? Does that make you sad? What makes you sad? Not. Alexa, what makes you sad? No one wants to play with you? That makes me sad too. How about if you have an argument with your best friend? Does that make you guys sad?
No.
No? Really? That would make me sad.
No, it makes you mad.
Makes you mad, that's right. How about when someone says something that really, really hurts your feelings? Does that make you sad? Yeah. When you think about things that make you happy and things that make you sad, it's pretty simple, isn't it? Yeah? When something good happens, you're happy, aren't you? Yeah? When something bad happens, you're sad. Is that right? Yeah? Do you think Jesus wants us to be happy?
Yeah.
Yes? Listen to what Jesus has to say about us being happy. I have loved you even as my Father has loved me. Remain in my love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Does that mean nothing bad will happen in our lives?
Yeah.
Yeah? No, it doesn't mean that. It means we can still be happy because Jesus loves us. I want you guys to remember that, okay? Remember, Jesus loves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we love you. That you love your son, and that your son loves us. Help us to remain in his love so that we will be filled with your joy. Amen. You guys go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me. Preschoolers stay.
Hey, then this morning, please stand. Take a bow, guys. Can you take a bow? Take a bow and say thanks for letting us sing. This was awesome. Again, we want to thank the preschool children and parents for being here with us today. It's been such a joyous morning, and we realize that our grief as we go through those struggles in our lives will one day turn to joy. So our scripture passage this morning is found in the book of John, chapter 16, verses 20 to 24. There's pew Bibles in front of you. It'll also show on the screen, but I'd encourage you to turn there with me this morning. Again, John 16, 20 to 24. Now, before we begin, let's set this up a little bit. Jesus' disciples are about to be plunged into a short, sharp, and intensely painful period of time. Many of us here this morning know that pain all so well. But what we're about to hear is that grief, that pain, will turn to joy. Would you say that with me this morning? Those two words, grief turns to joy. Grief turns to joy. Now, if we're all honest, we'd agree we'd rather have joy. But what Jesus is teaching us is that in this grief, in this pain we find in the world, we will indeed experience joy. It's all happening because with Jesus' death and resurrection, a new world is being born. Could you say that with me this morning? New world. New world. This isn't a matter of Jesus saying, there's trouble around the corner, but no worries, it'll be all right. Not at all, my friends. It's a matter of seeing what we've seen at the foot of the cross and finding ourselves with Mary Magdalene in the garden. Realizing the significance of these events. Talk about strange, talk about shocking, even somewhat unique. Jesus is giving us visible signs that God's new world is coming to birth. As a matter of fact, brothers and sisters, he is making all things new. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but that sounds rather marvelous. It sounds rather appealing. So let's begin verses 20 to 24 of John 16. Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we pray that our hearts, we pray that our minds would be open so that it could speak to us this very day. We gather feeling that grief from the hardships of this world. Death, sickness, daily struggles are all around us. Yet, Father, we cling to this word that you have for us today, that our grief will turn to joy. Father, help us through the Holy Spirit to illumine your word and to conceive its meaning. And it's to you that we give all glory. Amen. Now, what I'm about to say, we're going to need to wrap our minds around. Is anyone feeling super, super smart this morning? No one. That's excellent, because our intelligence radars are going to need to be turned on. No matter our age, we are all students of the word. Everyone say that with me. Students of the word. Students of the word. So here's what I'm about to say. It derives from the New Testament Inner Varsity Commentary. And it says this: Jesus' tomb is the womb of his resurrection. And his resurrection launches a new age. Now, what this means for us today is that the life of the coming world is available to us right now. Those who have trusted Jesus begin to experience that life already in the very present age. And that, my friends, is very good news. Friends, the bottom line is we will have pain. But friends, our pain will turn to joy. That very event that made the hateful realm of mankind rejoice and cause grief to Jesus' disciples will be the same event that will lead to the world's sorrow and the believer's joy. The disciples are about to realize the incredible nature of God's gift of salvation and the Holy Spirit through what he's accomplished. And my friends, the blessing of answered prayer. In verse 22, when Jesus says, I will see you, we know this to be true when he appeared to his disciples. Even beyond that, as believers today, Jesus is permanently with us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus imparts us life. Talk about joy. Talk about abundance in blessings. It's all right there. And in verse 23, it reads, in that day. It's a reference to Pentecost, a day in which the Spirit came and sorrow turns to joy. You see, as it goes on to say, you will no longer ask me, since we know that he won't be present. But friends, instead, we ask the Father in his name. And as verse 24 states, our joy will be complete. Not 99%, not half, it's 100% complete. What this means is that the believer's joy will be related to answered prayer, and are you ready for this? A full supply of heavenly blessing for everything consistent with the purpose of the Lord in one's life. Now, we may have heard that phrase called the will of God, the plans that he has for us. And we are assured that for every circumstance, there is a purpose. There is a promise of good that will come. Now, our limited minds cannot begin to fully conceive this. But the joy we speak of, is a delight in life that runs deeper than pain or pleasure. From the biblical perspective, it's not limited to external circumstances. Joy is a gift from God. Would you say that with me this morning? A gift from God. A gift from God. And like every other gift, it can and it will be experienced even in the midst of the most extremely difficult situations. In both the Old and New Testaments, joy is a continual mark of both the individual and the community. It's a quality of life and not some fleeting emotion. Friends, that's what they call happiness, as spoke of in the children's moment. Joy, you see, lasts forever. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. It's found in God himself and flows directly from him. So the answer, we all like answers, don't we? Is anyone in here not like answers? I like answers. Answers are a good thing. So the answer to the lifelong question of finding joy in our pain is in our relation to God. That fullness of joy, that completeness of joy, comes when there is a deep sense of the presence of God in one's life. So the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is, how close are you to God? How familiar are you with his word? Fun word. How familiar, I can't say it. How familiar are you with his word? In other words, what happens is that awareness causes us to share what we are experiencing with others. It's too good to keep to ourselves. Freedom, my friends, from our pain is ours when we are caught up in something great enough to give meaning and purpose to all life. And this, my friends, we know is in Christ alone. Now, I'll never forget those moments with Denise in the infusion center awaiting that midline when she's amidst an MS flare. I'll never forget the response to prayer requests on her behalf. When we say we cling to the cross for we know that's where our hope is found, we were like super glue. Nothing could separate us from the love of God. And when those veins fluffed up and that midline went directly in, we rejoiced and we gave God thanks. And thanks to our many faithful prayer warriors. Can you say with me this morning, God is good all the time?
God is good all the time.
That brings back even more memories of the doctor's office and what seemed like a giant needle moving even closer. This will only be a little pinch, they told LaShane, my 7-year-old son. A little pinch, he thought. When you're a young boy, it's much more than a little pinch. And I can tell you, while holding him on my lap, there was no joy in it. He was a trooper, though, and I can remember. I'll never forget on the car ride home, he said, Dad, I prayed that whole time just like you taught me, and it wasn't all that bad. I believe God was with me. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The facts of life are this. As verse 20 states, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Now, what on earth can Jesus mean by that? Can it really be true? We've all experienced pain of one sort or another. Can we honestly say our pain turned from grief to joy? There's a true story about a teenage boy who tried to climb a tall chain-link fence to take a shortcut to where he had parked his bike. There was a jagged row of barbed wire along the top. He should have stopped then. But he proceeded, and wouldn't you know it, his jeans snagged hold of this barbed wire. Before the fall was finished, he had torn his jeans up past the knee, and huge pieces of flesh came from his leg. To make matters worse, he landed on the bike, and he bent its front wheel. The boy remembered the pain, and not just the pain of the wound. He remembered the pain of reporting a torn pair of jeans to a father whose finances didn't allow for extra clothes. He remembered the pain of admitting to his mother that the blood splattered all over the bathroom belonged to him. And the pain of having to tell his boss that his delivery boy couldn't work until his leg was healed and his bike tire got fixed. That boy didn't really remember his pain turning from grief to joy. Yet Jesus tells us this morning, you will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. We've all experienced pain of one sort or another. Can we honestly say that our pain turned from grief to joy? What can Jesus possibly mean by that? What about the pain of disappointment? We worked for that job. We deserved that promotion. We expected the new assignment, but it went to somebody else. Did we feel joy? No, we felt devalued. We felt appreciated. Where was the joy in that? Someone we trusted betrayed us. Someone close to us turned out not to be our friend. Someone went against our values and did something so unbelievably awful that to this day it pains you. It hurts to call that person's name, let alone see their face. Where is the joy in that? And let's not get started on the pain of separation. Is there anything more painful, anything we grieve more than losing the ones we love? The ultimate separation, when that enemy, death, sneaks in and snatches those we care for. I've officiated one too many funerals in the past few months, and I have yet to hear anybody say how much joy that they feel. Sometimes there's a level of experience, but hardly joy. That ultimate separation, that deepest pain in life, can that even be turned into joy? Jesus again tells us, you will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. You will weep and mourn. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Is this just nonsense? Is this one of those empty phrases we toss about, sort of like whistling in the dark? Can this be for real, friends? Or is it standard mythology? Something we say, but we really don't believe and certainly have never experienced. There's some of us that are here this morning crying out in the midst of our circumstances, prove it, Jesus! Prove what you're saying! These weeks following Easter, we witness that Jesus does prove it. Jesus proves that our pain will turn from grief to joy. Jesus shows us that if we want joy, we must first learn that joy comes from our pain. Joy is made of the stuff of pain. Jesus teaches us that if we expect to have joy, real and deep and lasting joy, such a joy must come from our pain. Hear this, friends, for joy is not at odds with pain. It's the result of pain. You've heard it said before, no pain, no gain. And in some small way, Jesus is telling us this exact same phrase, no pain, no gain. He speaks of a woman in labor. experiencing tremendous pain. But when it's all past, there's this beautiful child. The joy is enough to justify the pain. For some, the pain of childbirth is rather minor. But for others, it's huge. It's massive. And I'll be the first to admit I am thankful. Praise you, Jesus, for epidurals. It's so difficult as a husband to stand by and see your wife in labor pain. And there's not much you can do about it but pray and allow your hand to be squeezed. And oh, how thankful I am after my hand being squeezed, it still functions. 28 hours later. Did I mention 28 hours later? Abigail Maylin, our 15-year-old, made her entrance into the world. All I could do was pray, wipe the sweat from her forehead, hold her hand, and tell her to breathe. Do you remember those classes on breathing? But pain there was nonetheless. And it didn't help that I turned all sorts of colors and had my very own nurse. So amidst the pain, I remember Denise sitting up, looking straight at me in my eyes and saying, "You need to get it together." Yet, in some miraculous way, that pain evaporates when a mother holds her child for the very first time and knows that new life has been brought into the world. I want to thank you, mothers, for what you have endured and what you continue to endure as your children become teenagers. Oh, wait, preschool parents, it gets better. And then into the adult years. Thank you, fathers, for doing what you do, and grandparents and great-grandparents, thank you for a job well done, for being there in the times of grief, in the times of pain. Because you see, friends, joy comes because we have struggled with something and have emerged victorious. Joy comes because we have wrestled with those things that disappoint us, and we have gained strength. Jesus tells us there's a way for pain to be turned from grief to joy. Now, notice Jesus shows us it takes time to develop. There's times we'll have to wait for it. We'll have to nurture the process. Joy's not always in an instant like that popcorn with the extra butter, movie theater popcorn that we put in the microwave and wait a few minutes and it's complete. Friends, our joy will be complete. But let me say this again, genuine, authentic joy, true and lasting joy is not in an instant. It takes time. It will one day be complete. So if we're mourning, if we're grieving in any way today, know that it's the time to grieve. But one day you shall have joy. As the scripture said, we are all in labor pains, but a child is coming soon. You see, we're still in the world where troubles are raging. But friends, there's no need to worry. We put our faith, we put our hope and our trust in Jesus Christ, who has overcome the world. He has endured the most painful moments that no one has ever endured. Yet he focused not on the pain, but the joy to come through our salvation. He's been crowned with glory and honor. Victory and power are his. Friends, know that our pain shall be turned from grief to joy. We shall rejoice again. And no one, and I do mean no one, as the scripture references, shall ever take away our joy again. Because friends, we know that we have seen the light. We know that we have a friend in Jesus who unconditionally loves us. And we know that from this place, we can go out with joy. Would you please rise if you are able and join in our closing hymns? What a friend we have in Jesus, and you shall go out with joy. Again, thank you for being here this day. May the Lord bless you.
7 will go out in joy. You shall go out with joy.
We know that there is a great love that has come among us through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has forgiven us. He has given us unconditional love. Go out with joy today, knowing that love permeates deep within our souls. Carry it through your lives and know that through your times of grief, through your times of pain, you shall again experience complete joy. May the love and the peace of God go with you. Amen and amen.